Good morning, everyone. The takeaway on this Monday morning is it is Memorial Day. And as we mentioned just a moment ago, we want to hear from you. Memory is in the word memorial. And it's not about remembering the recipe for barbecue sauce, right?
No. Although I'm sure
that's
already
helpful.
Going through some people's minds this morning. No, it's about remembering people who've served or someone else that you who do you memorialize? Most people do at least think of somebody on Memorial Day.
Active duty and veterans. We've been getting tons of responses from all of you at 8778-MY-TAKE. You know how to post a comment at thetakeaway.org. I'm remembering Ricky Lehman, the first trumpet in the Marine Band, who was my cousin. Who died about a decade ago.
And I'm remembering my father, a marine geologist who died in a submarine off the coast of California.
My grandpa was in World War I and lost an arm. So,
my grandpa was in World War I, but he was black, so he had to serve in the mess.
Oh, there's an interesting story there, too. Carol Deisinger joins us, producer and director of a new documentary, Camp Victory Afghanistan, which is a real immersion. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning.
If you want to go to a place where there are active duty service people, you can go through this film, which is featured in the Human Rights Watch Film Festival running from June 10th to the 24th right here in New York. You're a professor at the Tisch School of the Arts, but took something of a sabbatical over in Afghanistan between 2005 and 2008, right?
Yes.
Any people on this Memorial Day you're remembering that come directly into your mind? You talk to many, many service people, and we'll get into some of the stories in a moment.
Well, I think, my mother trained to be a nurse in World War II when nursing school was for free. And that was how all the Catholic girls escaped home back then. All the Irish and Italian girls got together and trained to be nurses. And my uncle was a, Gene Cava, was in photo intelligence with the Third Army with Patton. And had had a lot of stories he would only start to tell and never finish. And I remember very much a man who was in the movie, a man named Doc Stone. Sergeant Stone was the brother of Dana Stone, a reporter who was lost in Vietnam. And never, I think only recently found, he was a man who had walked around the world, and he was on his third tour as a medic in Afghanistan.
In Afghanistan, at Camp Victory.
At Camp Victory, which was then, and was then renamed for him as Camp Stone when he was killed in Sangin in action in Helmand.
Wow. So you spent 2005 to 2008, basically 3 years at Camp Victory, really assessing the mission of nation building in Afghanistan.
Yes, I am old enough to remember the Vietnam War, and I remembered as a kid being very profoundly agitated about it. But I do remember how that was our exit strategy then as well, was to train up an army who would take over the fight and then we would leave. And as Afghanistan sort of disappeared behind the cloud of Iraq objection and promotion, I was like, wait a minute. You know, we got hit. We went there. It's disappearing. Mm-hmm. And what I felt very strongly is I did not want ever again, if this should all go pear-shaped as wars tend to do, that anyone would ever blame the soldiers again.
Well, there are incredible moments in this movie, and it's without narration. It's completely verite, and you definitely get a sense of being a fly on the wall. Here's one moment from the training of Afghan military.
No, hey, Karzai, tell them to put the weapons down. Put the weapons back right now.
Sometimes slightly comedic moments, sometimes very, very heartfelt moments. Who were some of the people that you met that you think are really meeting the challenge of nation building in Afghanistan?
Well, I met Colonel Shute, who is one of the main characters, and I felt that one of the things that he did as an American trainer was that he listened. And I think it's one of the most difficult things for us to do as Americans is to rush in with all our know-how and just sit down, be quiet, drink the chai, and listen.
The name for tea. Right?
Yeah, yes. And this he did. He also was fortunate enough to meet General Faisal Ahmad Sayar, who on the other side, as an Afghan general, had seen an enormous amount of the conflict. The two of them managed to meet as men and become friends. And I think in that is how the training really happened.
And it's interesting to hear Colonel Shute talking about, you know, what he's learned and how it changes the mission from, I think, what a lot of Americans might think, that we're teaching the Afghans how to fight, but that's not what Colonel Shute says.
We're trying to teach this army to be subordinate to a government, to a civilian leadership. We're not going to teach them how to fight. They know how to fight. Believe me, they know how to fight.
It's not about fighting. It's about paving the way for a real government, which really isn't there yet.
Right. And in terms of the in terms of the Army, what I found fascinating, because I was following the National Guard. I mean, this was the Vermont and Oregon, you know, 2 weeks a summer, 1 weekend a month National Guard going to train an Army that theoretically had been fighting for 30 years. But what they didn't have and what they need, both as an Army and as a government, is logistics. You know, how to handle a payroll such that it cannot be pilfered, how to distribute fuel in a reasonable way so you don't run out. I mean, they always talked about how they would run for the bullets, but the Americans or the guardsmen would be standing there going, wait, take water, take ammo, figure out how you're going to get home. I met one Afghan soldier who said to me, what I like about this is in Russia, they taught us, and in the Mujahideen, they taught us how to fight and die. I feel like the Americans want us to learn how to fight and live.
What an interesting comparison from the Soviet period, which was, of course, a failure.
Yes.
And we don't know the outcome for the NATO and U.S. forces.
Except that it's gone on for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is, I always feel like in Afghanistan, we kind of ask the wrong questions and we use the wrong nouns. I mean, people, the fight has become like out now or more troops. And it's like, out? You know, do we leave places? I haven't noticed that if you look at Okinawa or you look at various places where we've been over time. What we are there doing is nation building. And the fight is, you know, it's the greater story. I mean, the bang bang is always, you know, it's an important story. But that's not what's going to get us out of there. And that's not really where our major effort is or should be, I think.
One is left with the impression here before we go that this is a mission that we need to fight to the end. The nation building needs to happen to the end. I get the sense that is somehow your feeling. Does it surprise you that that's a theme in the Human Rights Watch Film Festival, essentially endorsing a military mission of the United States?
No, because I think Human Rights Watch is trying to take up a really important part of this conversation. We are there, you know, out now. What, you know, if the peace would not result from us leaving. There are human rights violations all over the world, but I think it's something we have to have a sane and patient conversation about. In my film, I tried to give you a view that would allow you to have your own thoughts and your own conclusions.
Well, thank you for a sane and patient conversation. Carol Deisinger is the producer and director of the new documentary Camp Victory, Afghanistan. She's a professor at NYU. Thanks so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.